Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Westall. That was beautiful. Get us into a good worship frame of mind and motion. That's good. Thank you, sir. Boy, we packed them in last night. Tonight we're back down to the fighting few. All right. Do what? Yeah. So. Hazel and her fiance, they came, yeah. Do what? Yeah. Yeah, we like him. We're easy. We're easy going folk. She's special. She's very special. She is very special young lady. Yep.
We're not going that far.
No, but
we
Well, I don't know if she'll ever find a guy that good. All right. There aren't any. All right. Okay, let's get together in prayer. And, of course, we'll be in prayer for Tish, be in prayer for my wife who's home now. Yeah, she just doesn't feel well at all. She's, give you an idea, she's just staying close to the bathroom. And so
she didn't drug her or something.
She what?
You didn't drug her?
Didn't drug her. Let's see, we need to continue to be in prayer for Nathan. When does he leave on his special duty? Okay. So we need to be in prayer for Nathan and his unit. And need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. And and Edna, how's Edna doing?
She wasn't doing too good today.
Do what?
She wasn't doing too well today. I think she kind of overdid it today. She's not feeling well.
Well, her son-in-law, that's not nice of him to say, get up and get your own glass of water.
Yeah.
Get up and get moving around.
Yeah,
okay, today was a rough day, but how is she doing overall?
Good.
Good, okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Good. Collar's off? Good. Wow, very good. All right. Yes, sir.
And pray for Molly and Alyssa. Alyssa's having more troubles with drugs.
Need to be in prayer for Alicia. This is very important. And this poor little girl's having trouble fighting the drug war. And so we need to be in prayer for Alicia and Bonnie and Molly. And so be in prayer. Okay.
Also, just remember Cindy and her family. And
Cindy Edwards and her family, absolutely.
Johnson's in Arizona.
Yep.
And the undisclosed.
Okay. We need to be in prayer for Dan and Pat Hill. Today they should be, since it's Tuesday, they should be in, they had to change their schedule around, so they should be in Monrovia, Liberia today, Libya today. The airline called them Saturday. Now they've got all these plans made and speaking and the graduation and all this. They were going to start off flying from London into Nigeria. And they called, American Airlines called, and said they had to cancel the flight to Nigeria. And so, boy, that just, you just and sit down and look at everything. So they've had to reschedule everything. And so let's be in prayer for Dan and Pat, their health, their safety, and, of course, their spiritual momentum and all. Let's be in prayer for John, his teaching tonight, which will start in about an hour. And please be in prayer for this young man I told you about Sunday morning, Ronnie, that Judith witnessed to on the airplane with the gospel. He is definitely not a believer, but he has the information clearly given to him, so be in prayer for him. And okay, any other prayer requests? All right, well then let's get into our study tonight. Let's go open the Bibles to John 15. Been a while since we've been there, almost a month. And so let's get back and get oriented to our study in John 15. We left off in December, the middle of December, on verse 7. So that's where we'll pick it back up. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to take time out of our lives to come and abide in your word, fellowship in your word, fellowship with others who are like-minded. And Father, we pray that your spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see in this study now. This deals with our everyday life. This isn't about the future. This isn't about the past. This is about right now, every day of our life. So, Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's just read 1 through 6. And verse 7 is sort of a break verse. It's a prayer verse between 1 through 6 and then 8 and following. So, verse 15, or chapter 15 of John, verse 1. I, Jesus Christ, am the true vine, and my Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, now that branch refers to believers, he takes away, he the vine dresser, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word, that is the gospel, which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a very powerful phrase. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned. Verse 7 now begins our study of where we left off. It deals with abiding and prayer. And it's very important to keep this verse in context. Keep it in context. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Now, this is not a verse on prayer in general. And you got to stay in context on so many prayer passages. And that's important on this one. Verses 1 through 6, concerned with bearing fruit. Verse 7, prayer. Verse 8 through 16, picks up back on the fruit bearing. So it must, this, the ideal of prayer must be associated with the fruit bearing. This prayer is directly related to fruit bearing. And so we've spent some time on this, on prayer abuse and things like that. We've looked at 1 John 5:14. We've looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. And so now we come to our verse 7. And verse 7, if you abide with me. Now, and my words abide in you. So we have two conditions here. We have two conditions. And you got to pay attention to conditions. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In fact, the Hebrew has, whose mind is stayed on him, he will keep in perfect peace. So the first condition is the first line in line with the first condition we have seen, filling of the Holy Spirit. You abide in me. So everything's going to be dependent really upon being in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, we abide in him. We are in fellowship with him. Now for the next phrase. The next phrase, the second condition. my words abide in you. Okay? One, what are my words? Two, what does it mean that they abide in you? And three, how do they abide in you? First, let's look at the difference between my word and my words. Now, sometimes the singular and the plural do not really have much distinction. We saw that in 1 John. And my commandments. And so you take faith and love, you can look at that as two different commandments, or you can look at that as one commandment. So we have to do some work here. My word is said to unbelievers and believers, and it refers to the gospel. My word refers to the gospel. Let's look at the Gospel of John 5. Turn with me back over to Gospel of John chapter 5. The word abide is really a Johannine word. Only occurs only once in the book of Acts outside of John's writing. The word abide, yeah, it's the word abide is a John's vocabulary, a Johannine word we call it, yeah, and it's used only by John except in one place in Acts, and all the New Testament. And it's used in the Gospel of John. It's used in 1st and 2nd John. And so it's just a Johannine type of word. All right, the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I, Jesus Christ, say to you, he, the unbeliever, who hears my word and believes him who sent me, God the Father, and God the Father sent God the Son for salvation, has eternal life. So his word is the gospel. Has eternal life. And does not come into judgment. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but as has passed out of death into life. Death is our state as unbelievers under total depravity. And when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we come out of that. So here my word clearly refers to the gospel. Now the next five references are also in the Gospel of John. If you will, look with me at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, 31. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, so these are believing Jews, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Now, various people take on this one verse. Some take it that these are believers. However, if you look at the rest of the passage, we know that while they believed some of the things that he was saying, they did not believe that he was the Savior. And if we were studying the whole passage of John 8, 31 and following, you'd note that they are not believers in Jesus Christ as the Savior. And so they did not believe in him as Savior. And if you abide in my word, this is to abide or to believe in his word. That is the gospel. Okay, secondly, let's look at verse 37 in chapter 8, right where we are. Just slide down a few verses to verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. And what is his word? His word is the gospel again. The singular word has no place in you. That is, the gospel has no place in you. Here's an interesting thing from our study last night. Those of you who were last night, that I know you are Abraham's offspring. The rich man looked across the great gulf fixed, and he saw and noted Abraham and Lazarus. And he said, Father Abraham. He was able to do that because he was a Jew. And so he was not out of line in referring to him as that. It's a very interesting study how we now realize that after death, we can both see, we can speak, we can recognize each other. All these things, this passage is very powerful in opening our eyes to. But I just wanted to throw that out for here's another point. Abraham's offspring. So he is the father of the Jewish race. Now phrases like, you abide in my word has no place in you. These are synonyms for faith. If you believe him, then his word is in you. If you don't, then it's the gospel, no place in you. These are synonyms for faith. You abide in my word. That is, believe in my word. My word has no place in you. Why not? Because you did not believe in my gospel. So this is a very important passage, chapter 8, verse 37, in a lot of respects. All right, let's look at chapter 8, verse 43. Chapter 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Do not hear my word. That means they did not hear it so as to believe in it. It doesn't mean that they just, he's up there talking and they didn't even hear him. No, they heard the audible words, but they did not hear him, what he was saying, because they did not believe in what he was saying. So 8:43 becomes important. Why do you not understand what I am saying? And then he answers this question. It is because you cannot hear my word. That is, you do not believe in my word. All right, the next one is chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 51 through 52. Chapter 8, 51 through 52. Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. How do we keep his word? By believing in him. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see and never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? So again, they rejected his word, and because they would not hear it. And then we can look at chapter 14 a moment. John chapter 14. John 14 is so important, and 15 so important to our daily life now. Just so important. We're studying on Tuesday night. We're looking at the future events in Revelation 20. On Sunday morning, we'll get back to Romans chapter 3 and looking at our lives now in this passage. This study is very important to our passage because verse chapter 15 is the one of the whole issues of what happens after total the recovery from total depravity. Chapter 14, verse 33. Chapter 14, verse 33. Whoa, there is no verse 33. Let me see. 423. Okay, let's try 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. These are things that happen as a result of being born, the things that can happen as a result of being a born-again believer. One other passage out of John is Revelation. Well, he wrote Revelation, Revelation 3:8. Revelation 3:8. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put, talking to the angel to the church of Philadelphia, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Okay. Is that for me? That was Revelation 3:8. Was that for me? Okay, all right. I just want to be sure I didn't miss a call. All right. Might have been my wife making sure I came to church and teaching the word. All right. Now, this takes care of my word, the gospel. But what about the plural? My words. What about my words? Well, let's take a look at Matthew 24, verse 35. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 35.
So Matthew's going
to interpret John's words. Yeah. Well, no, it's just, we have the expression, the plural words. Right. 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, in a little bit tonight, we'll get into a discussion on various words that are used in the Bible for words. You have logos, you have dikte, just different words and why different words are used. So I'm going to save that discussion for then. But we'll take a look at the way that the translators, which is where we're going to have a little fun, the way translators translate different Greek words. Like the King James is almost predominantly will translate the word that we have here, Matthew 24:35, my teaching. They translate that as my doctrine. And all through the Gospels, epistles, when this word comes up, they will say, the King James inevitably will say gospel, doctrine. The NIV and the New American Standard will use primarily teaching. And then they will sometimes use doctrine, rarely, and sometimes instruction. And they will do some interpreting for us. Yes. Yeah, my words. No, it's my words. But the thing here is that the word words here refers to his teaching in the plural. Not just the gospel, but all of his teaching. About prophecy, you know, Jesus Christ gives a lot of prophecies during his life. And then just a lot of teaching that he does. So my words refer to my teaching, my doctrine. That's what it refers to. Mark 13, let's look at Mark 13:31. Mark 13:31. Now, I already have this in my notes for later, but you know, just you can get to where you can get it weird if you become dogmatic where things are not dogmatic. Like, well, it should be doctrine. Well, it should be teaching. Either one's fine. If you understand what doctrine means and you understand that. If you understand what teaching means, you understand that. So let's look at Mark 13, verse 31. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But his words are going to be all into eternity. Now let's continue with this. Let's look at Mark 8. Mark 8:38. Yes. Mark 8. Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, here, the plural words, says, well, years ago, and the way I was taught, things were just very concrete, dogmatic, and this is the way this word was always used this way. So I found out that's not always true. Now here the word, the plural of words, refers certainly to the gospel here. It certainly refers to the gospel. Whoever is ashamed of me and my gospel. Rejecting the gospel. So the plural can also refer to the gospel. The singular can refer to the gospel. And be flexible in with these issues. So this refers to the gospel. Let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 20. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 20. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time. So now this refers to gospel plus prophecy. The singular, the plural here refers to gospel plus prophecy. We know that by context. First to gospel and to prophecy. Let's look at Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Luke 6, 47. Luke 6, 47. Everyone, well, in verse 46 starts it. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. Now, here again, the plural refers certainly to the gospel, and it refers to the teaching in reference to the Jews. So it refers to teaching and the gospel. Let's look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That refers to all his teaching, his prophecy, his teaching to the Jews, teaching to Gentiles, teaching to the church, prophecy, and the gospel. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. And we want to look at verse 44 here. Now he said to them, these are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms may be fulfilled. So what is he doing here? My words refer to the gospel. It refers to all of his teaching, where he cited Old Testament references concerning himself. It refers to prophecy. It refers really to all the teaching of Jesus Christ. However we divide it up, refers to all the teaching of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John 5. I want to look at verse 47. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? His refers to Moses in context. Look at the previous verse. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote concerning me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words, my teachings? Now, I believe his writings, my teachings. Teachings on himself, teachings on the Old Testament, teaching on future events, prophetic events, all the teaching that Jesus Christ did. Let's look at John 14, a powerful chapter we just finished. John 14, verse 24. John 14, 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, this gives people a lot of trouble. words, and then he says word. Okay? The word words, his whole teaching, all the different divisions of his teaching, the word word refers to the exact of all of it. Everything that he taught, everything that he said. So, in this passage, if we look at it this way, verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, all my teaching. And the word, and that is all my teaching, all the word that you heard, is not mine, but is the Father. So there he's using the word word to describe the whole category of all of his teaching. All right, let's go back to 15:7 now. Chapter 15, the Gospel of John, verse 7. If you abide in me, maybe you will, maybe not. What does it depend on? It depends on your faith in the Holy Spirit. That's what it depends on. My words abide in you. All right, you are in Christ, and the words of Christ, that is the teachings of Jesus Christ. And again, the plural here begins with the gospel, prophetic verses, verses for the church, exhortations, all the precepts, all these things, all of his teaching, everything that Jesus Christ taught is included here. Unfortunately, not many have his words or his teachings in them. They do not go where his words are taught, his teaching is taught, and so they don't know them. The only way you're going to know these is to go somewhere where they're taught, you enjoy them, you interact with them, you abide in his word. That's going to be coming up. Abide in my word. Abide in my words. What does that mean? That means to have an interrelationship with the scriptures, which is what we do. And I'm just sorry that there aren't more in this assembly who desire to abide in his words and to learn and to grow. But I'm very thankful often for those of you that do come on Tuesday and Wednesday evening. So this is, my words abide in him. And so how do they abide in us? When we are filled with the Spirit, we listen, we grow, we read, we learn, and we meditate and grasp the teachings of the Word. They become part of what's inside of you, part of your thinking. Yes. The Hebrew word means the same. In the Greek lexicons, you look up meno, and it says dwell, remain, abide. And like many of the Greek words, they have different nuances. That's one of the richnesses that I learned about the Greek Hebrew, is that it's just very difficult to be, you know, it always means this, it always means that. You can't do that with Greek. It doesn't work that way. And so you have to look at the context. Sometimes you have to look at the author. For a proper word study in seminary, we had a study book on word study. You've got to go by, okay, you look, first of all, not necessarily in order, but you look at the lexicons and see what they have. Now, it is good if you know classical Greek, and I didn't take classical Greek, but I have several books on classical Greek that I use. You go back and get an ideal of the word. And then you take the biblical word, then you go to the use of that word in context, well, by that author, all the time that he may use it. If you're doing extensive word study, you look at all the time that John, Paul, Peter, Matthew, Luke, how they used that word. Did they have a unique reference for it, like John does with abide? And then you go, narrow it down, keep narrowing it down, and then you start off with classical Greek, and then you look at Koine Greek, biblical Greek, then you look at the word used by that author, and then you look at it in context. See how it fits in context. Okay, it would be abide. It'd be the same thing as abide. But let's see if we can answer your question. And I'll be doing more of that tonight if we get to it. But let's just say, if I were to say to someone that was on a rigid program for exercise for sports, Okay, I could say you just better abide in that program, remain in that program, don't get out of it, don't transgress out of that program. You just abide right there. You just stay right there. You remain there. But you can get out of it and no longer remain there. You can transgress from there. But the ideal of the word is, this is where we live. This is day in and where you walk. And we got a good, beautiful word to coming up to deal with that. So does that help for a little bit? All right. So this is, and my words, my teachings abide in you. And if you abide in Him, we do that by faith in the Spirit. We are in union with Christ. And my words, because you're in with Him and His words and His teaching, and my words abide in you. We could be doing this with His love. How does His love come through us? So we do not go, if people don't go where the word is taught, and they just go to the churches where there's a lot of itching ears satisfying and all of this kind of thing, they're not abiding in His words. Got to abide in His words, His teaching. And to get the picture here, let's look for a moment at Philippians 2. Let's look for a moment at Philippians chapter 2. To get the picture of what we have going on. Philippians 2. And we want to look, just read through verses 5 through 7 of Philippians 2. All right, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I was taught at one time, this meant just the whole Bible doctrine, all the Bible. And that isn't what this word means. This isn't what this word means at all. It's told, what we're told is in context. Have this attitude. What attitude? What specific attitude is he talking about? Which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what attitude am I to have in life that Christ Jesus had in his life? Who although, and here's the attitude, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now, who tried to grasp that position? Satan. Satan did not want to give it up. Satan, in fact, never had it, but he grasped at it. Verse 7, but instead of holding on, emptied himself. This is the attitude we're to have. Emptied himself, humble, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Now, we think that's pretty cool. But being a man when you're God is way down. That's even below angels. So this is way down the totem pole. It's just above animals. And but we might think it's very good, but Jesus Christ lowered himself below angels and became man. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming. What I want to get here is this ideal of if my words abide in you, and I abide, we'll think like he thinks. But you got to have His Word and His power of the Holy Spirit in order to think as He thinks. You got to have this humility, have this attitude in you. Let's go back to John 15 now. John 15. So His words to know the thinking. Now I said, let's go back to John 15. I really want to go to 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. And boy, are we going to have fun here. This is going to be just a lot of fun. If you found Revelation, you've gone a little bit too far. 2 John. Okay, verse 9. Now, we don't have very many here, so I'll be able to do this without having it on a overhead a PowerPoint presentation. All right, 2 John chapter 1, only one chapter. Look at verse 9. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in my teaching, does not abide in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. That's an interesting phrase. What does it mean to have God? The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Okay? Now, I'm going to deal with this phrase by phrase, but this just it's just powerful and what all is going on in this verse. I want to look at the New American Standard Version on these phrases, and then we'll take a look. Let me see if this works here. I like this one better if it works. All right, we have in the New American Standard, anyone who goes too far, Okay, now the King James, it says, whosoever, so that's okay. We can deal with that word, whosoever. Is that coming out on there? Yeah. Whosoever transgresses. Transgresses. The NIV, anyone, so here we keep up with the same concept of the Greek word there, anyone who runs ahead. Who runs ahead. Okay, so we have three different translations for this Greek word. Anyone who goes too far. Anyone who, or whosoever transgresseth. Anyone who runs ahead. Now, spending a little time on this verse will help us grasp the meaning of abiding. It's a difficult word, concept to give people. If we spend a little time on this word, we're going to be able to grasp some of the meaning of abiding. To abide in Him, to abide in His Word, abide in His love, abide in the Father. What does all of that mean? How do I practice that in my daily life? All right, the word translated, who goes too far, transgresses, all these are the same Greek word, or who runs ahead. These are all the same Greek word, parabino. Now, I'm going to write it into Greek here because we're going to have fun. If you're in the Spirit, you'll be able to follow this. This isn't any big deal here. All right, para, and if I would write with the other one, I'd do it. Parabino, B-A-I-N, long O. Did any of that come out on there? Not very well. All right, P-A-R-A is the prepositional prefix. It's a compound word. And bino, B-A-I-N, long O. Parabino. Now, I love the Greek, and I loved it as soon as I took it, as it's just so rich with how they can put words together. They put these different words together and make a whole other word. And so here we have parabino. It's a rich word. It's somewhat difficult to translate, and I'm going to show you why. We're going to slow down a little bit and show you why it's a little difficult. You want to think of this word, then you want to think of it fundamentally, whenever you first hear the word parabino or see this word in this context, you want to think of it as a denoting motion. Denoting motion. The word, theologically, philosophically, denotes our view of life as continual motion. It's how we need to learn to think about our life. Our life is in continual motion, not static. Never standing still. It's in motion. And what? And if you'll see, who goes too far, transgresses, runs ahead, that's motion. The word carries the idea of motion with it. So that has to be fundamentally in your thought process with the word. What is so important for every individual to realize that their life is constantly in motion. Now, the critical question comes up, in what direction is your life going? It's in motion. What direction is your life going? And secondly, what kind of motion? You got spiritual, filling of the Spirit, flesh. What kind of motion? And what direction? Now the NASV and the NIV give the good ideal of motion goes too far. But the King James also gives the ideal of motion, once we grasp that word, to transgress. You're moving. When the simple thing about transgression, you set aside all of the sin for a moment. The word, it means you're going along in this direction or in this momentum, abiding, and you're going along and then you transgress. You digress. You transgress over to something else now. So you see the ideal of motion in the word transgress? You're going along and you transgress from what you should be doing. And that's why they translated it transgression. And as I'm going to show you, I prefer the King James, and I'll show you why as we go through this. It's a compound word, and we have para. Now, I'm not here to give a language class on this type of thing, but you gotta work with me, because this word is just a beautiful word. And para, fundamentally, carries the ideal of near. This is para. And that prefix fundamentally carries the ideal of being near. Being near. And I'll just kind of jump ahead so that I don't lose you. Near to Him. Abiding in Him, you're near Him. Abiding in Him, you're near. In that immediate vicinity. In the New Testament, it is used only with the genitive. Only when it's used in the genitive, it's only a genitive of person. Implying going forth motion in the vicinity or near someone. In the presence, alongside of someone. It's a very powerful word for marriage. Dealing with marriage couple. You got to be together, be near each other, abide with each other in your motion. In your direction. That's the para, or the prefix of this word. And so it implying going forth, a motion, in the same vicinity, in the same direction, near someone. And be your husband and wife here for us in our study. It's Jesus Christ. We want to live our life day in and day out, to walk and to go into motion of our life in the same momentum of Jesus Christ. Now let's stop right here. And look at the concept of abiding in Christ, or abiding in His Word. You're walking along with Him, side by side of Him. In fact, we go so far in the New Testament to walk in Him. Not just along with Him, but actually in Him. That's a concept, philosophical concept that a lot of people can't handle. That's what another thing I love about the Greek. The Hebrew would be very difficult to express this. But in the philosophical Greek, you can just, okay, I see, we're in Him. So you walk by side, but you're in Him, in your life. You're in His love. You're in His teaching. This is abiding in Him. This is abiding in His love. This is abiding in His Word. It's just part of your whole life momentum. Yes, sir. Yes, 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 yeah. And what I'm doing here is going to the result of being in the Spirit. You're in Christ, you're abiding in Him, and by that we mean to abiding in Him, you're in the same momentum with Him. You're in the same thought process with Him, and this is the abiding. So we're going to learn some things about abiding as we go through this word. Now back to the prepositional prefix of the word. The word means, it's to transgress, to go too far, or run ahead. It's all translated this word, that word, different ways. The preposition, para, means near or in the vicinity. And as you can see, how it's going to be used with transgress by the second part of the word, you falter from that. You don't walk with him anymore. You don't walk in the proximity. You're not thinking in the proximity anymore. That's not to abide. We walk in the flesh. We stop walking in him in the power of the Spirit and in fellowship with him and his word. So para means near, in the vicinity, alongside. Best the human example is a husband and wife in the same motion in their marriage. The same, their life. They should walk alongside each other. This is the ideal of abiding. You're abiding with each other. When you walk in the same direction and you walk alongside of each other, that's abiding together. And in a human concept, we're doing it in a spiritual realm of abiding in Christ, abiding in His love, abiding in His Word. But we can get an ideal of a husband and wife that we are to abide with each other. And it means to walk together, be in that motion. The marriage is in a motion. And if one is going this way, one's going that way, this marriage is going to have trouble. And if you have trouble in a marriage, you can always come back to the common ground. The common ground. And I guess I can say it because she's not here. But I've taught this for years about if you can pray together, if you have that common denominator. And, boy, it's amazing in my brief time of marriage how this has really helped. We don't want that in the house. I want it in the house. I don't want it. Let's just wait a minute. This is getting too tense. Let's just sit down and see what our goal and objective is in this house and get back and be like-minded. And then you realize, well, I don't need it. But if you're abiding with each other, walking with each other, you can always come back to those kind of things. Now, preposition, para, prefix, the prepositional prefix, near, in the vicinity, alongside. Okay. Got that down? Prefix and the word have the ideal of motion. Let me show you how beautiful Greek is. This preposition or prefix is also used with words of sending from someone to someone else, or in the sense of his love when it goes out from us. Now, yes. Yes. Yep. Okay. This preposition also carries the idea, and this is important, of, I told you, it carries the ideal of motion. It also carries the ideal of position. Position. Non-moving. Motion or position. So sometimes it emphasizes that. Let's see if I can help with this. Let's look at Galatians 1 a moment. Let's look at two concepts in Galatians 1. Or Galatians 5, excuse me. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse 1, keep standing. Keep standing. And the freedom wherewith God has set you free. So this is a non-motion word. You keep standing in that freedom wherewith He has set you free. But look down at verse 7. Running well. Now we can have a little fun with it. Coach, how in the world can I run and keep standing? And that concept there, I can do both. But I think we can understand the running is that motion, that our life is continually in motion, but it must be in motion on the same foundation as our salvation. So we stand firm in that freedom that we have from the law. We have in Christ and the Spirit. So as we move, we're not moving away from that upon which we stand, our position. Does everyone handle that okay? Because that gives you the idea. So one of these denotes motion, the other denotes position. But they both have the same basic concept. Now back to 2 John 1:9. 2 John 1:9. Our compound word in 2 John 1:9, we're looking at the prepositional prefix, para. At the same time, connotes motion and standing firm. The prefix, therefore, conveys the ideal of going beyond where you should by moving or even to move contrary to it. That's where the NIV and the New American Standard, who goes too far, and then the NIV runs ahead. That comes from this prefix of this word. Now we come to the word bino, B-A-I-N-O, bino. Bino also carries the concept of the ideal of motion. The first word in the lexicon, walk. So the ideal of motion is in it. Also, this word bino carries the ideal to stand in place. To stand in place. The ideal of motion of walking, fundamental of the word, noting motion, the direction and kind of walking is vital to the word. Something is added with this word, and when we add bino with it, bino carries an idea that para, the preposition, doesn't carry, and that is the idea of purpose. 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 So it carries the idea. So as we're going to find out, to abide with Christ, you have to know, what's my purpose in life? What's my purpose? And to use an illustration in sports, football, it's my purpose. My purpose is to be in the top condition so we can win the Super Bowl. Practice my skills and do all of this kind of thing for it. It's my purpose. And whenever we stray from it, this is where this word is going to come in from. You go out drink a keg of beer and all this the night before the game. You've transgressed. I think would be an okay word to say. We could use some other words too. But you've transgressed. I don't think a coach would use such a nice word. But you transgressed from your purpose, from your stand, from your position, from what we're trying to do here. So therefore, each team practices and plays each game, but in reference to our lives, what's the purpose of your life? This will determine your walk. It determines how you walk. It will guide in every decision you make in life. And as we're going to see, we're going to put this with abiding in Christ. Now, we have to stop now because I'm just getting into the buildup of the word and the words. So we'll stop with this aspect. We put the word together. Para, bino. And the word denotes motion, or it can denote position. And the idea of bino, it means this motion is a transgression from the norm that you picked out. So we'll pick it up at this point next Wednesday night. After we find out if the Cowboys are going to go one step further or not. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the words that Jesus Christ spoke to the disciples and therefore to us. How grateful we are that the Holy Spirit made us privy to this conversation. Otherwise, we were not there. We would not know this ever took place. Wouldn't even know it took place. Not have all the richness of the Gospel of John 15 if the Holy Spirit hadn't preserved it for us and kept it over the centuries. Preserved it. And to grasp it, Heavenly Father, we're still dependent upon your Spirit to open our eyes and to teach us your words and your word, your doctrine, your teaching. So, Father, we pray now that you take these things we've seen tonight and bear into our souls and bear witness in our life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.